joining us on the phone to talk about the crop production and WASDE reports is Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hello, Dave. Thanks for having me.
It seems to me if you look at everything together and compare it to one another, it may be that soybeans came out the worst, and at least if you were a bull.
Yeah, I think so, and I think this is where the trade has really reacted kind of strong, not just kind of, but actually very strong, with the spread still hanging up there very nicely. We got no reduction in old crop carryover. We got a 260-some million bushel carryover for new crop. Worst of all, the world soybean ending stock number for the new crop year, just under 75 million tons. That beats the old record of just over 70 million tons from 2010-2011. So we're looking at 7% more ending stocks in the world at the end of the next marketing year based upon today's report, with an average U.S. price of $10.50 now.
Does the first numbers of the season for soybean production for the new crop of harvested 76.2 million acres and yield 44.5 seem reasonable?
Yield seems a little high, Dave, but then I could also come back and say they really stoked up the total use. They went from 3.08 billion this current crop year all the way up to 3.264 billion for total usage on the new crop beans. And so I think those kind of offset each other. By and large, I think these numbers make sense and work pretty well into the overall situation given the slower plantings. I don't think you can really take the acres up yet at this point because beans are almost as far behind as the corn. But certainly with 77.1 million, million acres, you could probably see the acreage go up if we continue to see corn planting delays.
All right, then let's go ahead and begin to dig into the corn a little bit more. Based on what you're seeing here, should not December corn gain on November beans?
I think these corn should gain on November beans, and not just from a domestic standpoint, with a 158 yield, pretty conservative for USDA, especially given what we did last year in terms of that close to 165 yield that they put out in their May report. But I think globally, too, the global coarse grain ending stocks for the new crop year actually fall compared to this current crop year for coarse grains. Wheat goes up 5%, but coarse grains actually drops 0.6% on the 13-14 crop year. So I think this is where Dease corn and the corn acres are more needed than they were at 11:59 Eastern time today. That's probably the biggest thing that I took out of the report.
And as we look at corn production, how they came to the 14.140 billion bushel crop, was harvested acres at 89.5 and a yield at 158. They did take yield down.
Yeah, they did. I think that was a respectable yield number. I think that brings a lot of credibility to these numbers. And so you have a 2 billion bushel carryover. The only problem I would say with that is that they kept their total use well above last year and above 2011, 2010. But they did that with domestic demand. They didn't do that in the export market. In fact, the export market, they put in 1.3 billion bushels. In 2011-2012, we did 1.54. I think we should be able to do at least 1.5 billion this next crop year, especially with this kind of supply coming on, because theoretically your prices will not spike and choke off demand.
So maybe some of the demand destruction, the time it will take for that demand to come back to the marketplace, maybe less than we thought 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is where your currency markets come into play, and this desire by Japan and a lot of other countries to weaken their currency and essentially in the short term weaken their purchasing power for imported commodities, and that includes the grains. But the other side of that is down the road they're going to see their domestic prices increase because they're not going to have imports to help soften the blow. So they'll get their inflation they want, I suspect, and that includes commodity inflation, and that's where I think you can get your purchasing power hit in the short term, but come down the road, maybe 6 months from now, they're probably going to be needing to import a lot more to cool their prices down.
Do you want to make the case that at just over 2 billion carry out, that will be the largest number we will see?
I can't say that because they did the 158 yield. I think certainly this is the worst demand number I think we should see, in my opinion, and probably one of the biggest acreage numbers. But that yield number was respectable enough. I'll say total supply at 14 billion. That's on the top end, but I don't know if that's going to be the highest we see, Dave.
The other number that jumps out at you is U.S. ending stocks for wheat for 13-14. The trade had it down at 627. We got nowhere near that at 670.
Very easy to explain that. They took total usage down 7%. That equates to 159 million bushels for new crop wheat. And this is where I probably have the biggest issue with the numbers today, as far as I think the demand for wheat is going to be a lot better than that, given the prices and given the fact that we are going to be seeing a lot of wheat traded, I think, in 13-14. You take that 159 off of the USDA's projection of 670, that puts you down to around a 511 carryover. So I think that's why the trade estimates were so far off, because they really cut the legs out from under the demand for the wheat.
One of the things the trade probably was thinking about was that wheat could support the corn. If the wheat could find a bottom first, the corn would find a bottom too. With these kind of numbers, does that thinking still resonate with traders?
I think it does in the big picture. There's going to be times where the corn demand and the corn supply probably leads, and whether that's a weather market, whether it's planting delays, whether it's July pollination, I think seasonally corn can take over the leadership mantle at times during this marketing year. But I think the world numbers would still suggest, if USDA is overestimating supplies and that the world-ending stocks of wheat is not going to be 6 or 7% higher than last year, that's where the wheat tightness becomes an issue, and that automatically transitions the corn back into a feed grain and wheat a food. So I think wheat still leads overall in the big picture.
So how do these numbers then tweak whatever your marketing plan is for new crop?
Key point today would be, we've got Monday's crop progress Monday, so I'm not making a lot of changes with the clients today. I am, for people that did aggressive hedging on corn puts, I am pulling some of those puts off as we're down here near these lows on the day, because we have held up better than I expected. I think the real business and the real work has to be done, Dave, in the new crop beans. The 1050 average price on a 265 carryover makes sense to me, and I think that's where you're trading almost $12 in the new crop beans in central Illinois, central Indiana. You probably have more downside than upside after the May goes off the board. So I'll be doing a lot more work on new crop beans as we get back to next week's trade.
You mentioned the report on Monday with Crop Progress. Trade is thinking 30 to 35. That seems a little rich to me.
Well, I think that we're probably several points behind in terms of what USDA has been reporting. I think they've been underneath the number maybe 2 weeks in a row by about 2 points. So I think there's probably an extra 4 or 5 points there that they could throw on us at any time. So mid-30 or higher would be bearish, I think. I think you're right on the money when it comes to what the trade's expecting. If you saw anything close to 40%, as we said this morning, I think that'd be a pretty negative number to have to digest.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.